Abraham was about 75 years old when he called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. And the Lord told him, give up your family, give up everything here. He was 75 years old, living a retired life in Ur of the Chaldees. Probably had built his house and settled down, decided to settle down there. And then one day the Lord says, quit all this and leave. And he could have said very well, Lord, I just settled down here. I just retired and settled, built my house and lived here. You want me to leave now? Yeah, leave everything, leave your family, and come where I'll show you. I'm not going to tell you where I'm going to take you, but it's a land I will show you. And I've often thought if Abraham had said at that time, Lord, I live for you here. You know what God would have said? He said, sure, Abraham, I won't trouble you. Stay here. And he would have looked for somebody else. God's work will not be hindered because one man disobeys. No. His work will still be done. If one man doesn't respond, he'll find somebody else. And I believe God would have found somebody else in Ur of the Chaldees or wherever and told that person. And you'd never have heard of Abraham at all in your life. Somebody else would have been the father of Israel. So the times in our life where God calls us and you can miss something. And if Abraham had missed it there, he had missed it for life. That would have been a tragedy. But he responded and said yes. And because of that, though he struggled a lot, he had to give up his comfortable retired life. And initially, you read that he didn't obey the Lord fully to leave his father behind. He took his father along. I don't know whether you know that passage. Turn with me to Genesis in chapter 11 first. It says, first of all, in Genesis 12, verse 1, the Lord had said to Abraham, go forth from your country, from your relatives, and from your father's house to the land which I'll show you. Not only give up your home, but give up your relatives. Go, come with me alone. And you know, he didn't go with the Lord alone. It says here that Abraham and Nahor, it says, verse 31 of chapter 11, Terah, that's Abraham's father, took Abraham his son and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarah's daughter-in-law, and they went out together from Ur of the Chaldees. Now that was completely wrong. Because God had told him to give up his father and come. He was not supposed to take Lot with him either. He had a lot of problems because he disobeyed the Lord in that small thing. He had problems with Lot. He had problems with his father. Just because he did not obey the Lord in one simple thing. The Lord said, leave your father, leave your relatives and come with me. It's very clear in Genesis 12 verse 1. The Lord had said that to Abraham. But he allowed his dad. You know, sometimes we can love our relatives so much that we allow them to influence us in things when the Lord is calling us some other direction. Our dads can have ambitions for us, which are outside the will of God for us. My dad had an ambition for me when I joined the Navy. He wanted me to go to the top. And but when the Lord called me, I said, that's it. I didn't even consult my dad. I said, I'm quitting. I informed him later. But I discovered that if I want to follow Jesus, I must not allow any of my relatives or anyone to come between me and what the Lord is calling me. And the thing is, you can miss something. I'm not saying that you'll go to hell. But to tell you quite honestly, I'm not just interested in going to heaven. This is the honest truth. I can say that before God. I'm not interested in going to heaven. I'm interested in fulfilling God's will here before I go. That's much more important for me. Not somehow scrape it into heaven. I want the Lord to say to me, well done, good and faithful servant, when I see him, and not, oh, well, you managed to get here, is it? Not that. That's not what I want to hear. And I hope all of you want to hear the Lord say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. So Abraham made that mistake. And so, as you know, he had a lot of problem with Lot, but what does he do with his father? You know, God couldn't do anything for Abraham. So finally, God killed his father. You read there in Genesis 11:32, Terah died. And then Abraham, chapter 12, verse 4, went forth after his father died. So, if it doesn't happen one way, he'll do it another way. He'll still separate you from your relatives. And that's what he did. He knew that, God knew that I can do nothing with this man Abraham till I separate him from his father. He won't do it himself, and I have to do it for him. And God killed his father. And that was it. And then they moved on. So, we read finally, 50 years after that, when Abraham is 125 years old, Genesis 22 verse 1, God tests Abraham. When does God stop testing us? 50 years after you're converted? And God going to test you? Sure. He tested Abraham about 50 years after he was first chosen from Ur of the Chaldees. And God tested Abraham, Genesis 22, 1. And he called him Abraham. And he said, here I am. Now take your son. And you know, this was in the middle of the night. Here was Sarah was sleeping somewhere and Abraham was sleeping. And God called Abraham and Abraham comes out and says, what is it, Lord? Very often, God may say something to you which he doesn't want your wife to know. Because your wife may not be willing to do what God's telling you to do. And so we know it was at night because we read in the next verse, verse 3, Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took his two young men. What the Lord told Abraham was in verse 2 was, take your son, whom you love. Why does he mention whom you love? He emphasizes that. I know you love him. I believe that Isaac, probably around 25 years old at this time, had virtually become an idol for Abraham. If you get a son when you're 100 years old, it's almost certainly be your idol. If he's your only son. And he had to drive away his other son, which was born through Hagar. Now he's left only with Isaac. And the Lord emphasizes, I know this is the son whom you love. And I believe the meaning is you love in an idolatrous way. He's more important to you than me. There, way back 50 years earlier, it was his father who was important. Now it is his son. And God detached him from his father by killing his son, killing his father. And now God says, I'll detach you from your son by killing your son. God's very jealous. There's a verse in James 4 which says he's jealous for our spirit. What that means is God is just like a husband who doesn't want his wife to have an interest in anybody else. Just me. It's called a godly jealousy. Paul calls it a godly jealousy in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2 and 3. He says, I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy. It's the same we read in James 4:5-6, that the Spirit of God is jealous for our spirit. So God was jealous for Abraham that he wanted to possess him exclusively. And I believe those are the ones who allow God to possess them exclusively that become part of Jerusalem and not Babylon. So he said, that's why he emphasized, this son whom you love, take him and put him as a burnt offering on the mountain which I tell you. Now there were many mountains around there and the Lord could have told him to take a mountain nearby, but no. He told him to take him to a mountain, which is, verse 4 says, on the third day Abraham reached there, 3 days' journey to that place where he had to offer his son. Why? I learned something else there from these little things in Scripture. If you meditate on Scripture, you learn something. And that is that God doesn't force you to just suddenly take a decision without thinking about it. You know, Jesus said, sit down and count the cost. When he talked about discipleship, sit down and count the cost. In my meetings, I never tell people, stand up and come forward. I say, sit down and count the cost and come back and tell me 1 week, 2 weeks later, whether you want to make a decision or not. Because a lot of these decisions which are taken, I mean, this is my conviction, which are taken by evangelists who say, come on, stand up now and come forward and sign the decision card. Those guys haven't counted the cost. I remember of visiting a place in India where some big evangelists from the United States had come and had meetings, and hundreds of people were had signed decision cards and come forward and all that. And I knew the person who was appointed to do the follow-up of all these decision cards. And he told me, after a number of months going around visiting all these people, that hardly any of them were following the Lord. And I learned something about all these people who sign decision cards and come forward and make decisions, so-called decisions for Christ. And he said people came forward with all types of reasons. That they, he asked them, why did you go forward that day? One of them said, I wanted to have a closer look at the evangelist. He was far away from him. So, and he said, they come forward. What do they lose by signing a decision card? Nothing. And in India and all in the poor places, they may think I may get some benefit. If they got my address, perhaps they'll send me some money. So it's a deception. So Jesus said, sit down. Don't stand up. Sit down and count the cost, whether you want to be a disciple or not. And you don't have to decide today. Take 1 month to decide or 1 year. But count the cost and then decide. And this is what why God told Abraham, you take 3 days to think about it. And decide whether you want to pay this price or not. Do you want to pay the price? And Abraham had 3 days to think about it as he walked down. Remember, he's going to kill his son. He knows in 3 days I won't see the son anymore. Is it worth it serving such a God? That was the question in his mind. Is it worth it serving such a God who's already taken me away from my relatives and my father, and even Lot has been separated from me, and now he's going to take away my son? And at the end of 3 days, when he walks up Mount Moriah, he has decided it is worth it. It's worth serving a God who demands from me everything I have, including my father and my son and everybody else. And you know what he calls it? This action. Very important, very interesting to see. What Abraham calls this action of offering up the most precious thing he had on earth. In fact, everything. When he reached the mountain, he told the young men, verse 5, who were with him, you all stay here with the donkey. I and my son will go up there and we will worship. He was going to have a worship meeting there. That's the first time in Scripture the word worship comes.